Aloha friends, it's Robert Stelic. Welcome to another episode of the Blue Planet Show, where I interview foil athletes, designers, and thought leaders. I talk not just about the equipment, technique, and so on, but also try to find out a little bit more about their background, what inspires them, and their plans for the future, and so on. You can watch this show right here on YouTube or listen to it on your favorite podcast app. Just search for the Blue Planet Show. I've been trying for a long time to get the Spencer brothers to come on the show, and I finally met up with them after the Molokai to Oahu race, and I got Finn and Jeffrey both on the show today, so really stoked about that. Finn recently won the Maui to Molokai race and the Molokai to Oahu race, even though he had a major infection on his foot, so congrats on that. And they are both amazing athletes, not just in wing foiling, but also downwind foiling, prone foiling, surfing. They do everything. Really great guys to talk to. Hope you enjoy the show. So without further ado, here are Finn and Jeffrey Spencer. All right, Finn and Jeffrey, welcome to the Blue Planet Show. It's great to have you here. I've been trying to get you for quite a while. And then I finally ran into your dad at the finish of the Molokai to Oahu race. And then Jeffrey gave me your text, your cell phone number. So finally getting you guys on the show. Stoked.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah. So you're on Maui, I'm on Oahu. And on Maui, we just since the Molokai race, and not too long ago, I was in Lahaina, like right before the Maui to Molokai race, and everything was fine. And now it's all gone. So can you talk a little bit about the fires on Maui and what, and if you know anyone that got affected by it?
Totally, yeah. We had this storm that was passing to the south of the islands, and it was like, usually it's not too concerning because it didn't look like it was actually going to hit us. But what happened was it ended up generating extremely crazy strong winds, like through the whole thing, but there was no rain or anything. So it's just like the most windy it's ever been, especially over on the west side in Lahaina. And they're just not used to having that crazy amount of wind. So tons of stuff was getting knocked down. And I think just in the chaos, like the fire started, there was ones on both sides of the island. There was some up country, up in Kula, and then also in Lahaina. So it was probably pretty difficult to be able to actually like control everything, especially in that amount of wind. It spread extremely quickly. And yeah, it's pretty devastating. But the entire town of Lahaina pretty much burnt. Quite a few places up country as well, but luck, it wasn't as bad up there.
Yeah, it's not as densely populated, at least. But yeah, I was just reading in the paper this morning that there was some like live video of the power lines getting knocked over and then just falling into the grass and just like a line of fire starting instantly, stuff like that. And then, yeah, the wind was so strong that day that it just spread super fast. And I guess people didn't even have time to get away. It's pretty tragic. It's like probably the worst fire in recent history. Yeah. And then, so do you know anybody that got affected by it or lost their home or?
Yeah. A bunch of our friends on the west side that we know and grew up with stand up paddling and foiling and surfing and just lost everything, like lost their homes and pretty much everything they had.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so and then I guess I talked to Zane yesterday, who lives over in that side too, and Zane Schweitzer, he said like they don't need more clothes and stuff like that. Everyone's been sending clothes, but they just need like certain things like VHF radios and containers and things like that. And they need it quickly, so because shipping stuff there, it takes a while. So anyway, probably the best way to support Maui is just by making a donation, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. The best way is like supporting the families directly. I know personally, like the Claydens and the Flex from paddling, they're good family friends, and there's tons of others. We're able to find them on, especially social media has been a really good way for people to communicate through all this. And the Maui Strong Foundation as well is a really good resource that they're able to take the funds and use them wherever's most needed at the current moment. It's another really good one to donate to.
All right. Yeah, and best wishes for everyone on Maui. That's just a tough situation to be in for sure. But anyways, let's talk a little bit about you guys. Have you always lived on Maui? Or how did you grow up and how did you get into water sports and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, since we lived here since we were babies, we were born in Canada, but basically our entire lives was here. We weren't even a couple of years old when we moved here. So yeah, it's just been Maui. But interestingly, it took us a while to get super into water sports. We did a bunch of average like school sports growing up, team ones like basketball, volleyball, stuff like that. And then we started stand-up paddling around probably 10 years ago, actually, at this point, which is kind of crazy. But then just from there, like we always had fun bodyboarding and surfing and stand-up paddling, and then got into it from there, yeah.
Right on. Who's older? Or what are your ages?
I'm older and I'm 22.
I'm 19.
22 and 19. All right. So I guess when you started, you were like around...
I was probably 13. We'd always play in like the shore break with boogie boards and when we were really young, but we didn't really start like getting into it more until I was 13 and you were probably like 10, 11.
Yeah. And that was that your dad taking you down to the beach and putting you on a board, or did you just show interest in it, or like how did that work out?
We'd go over to the west side near Lahaina. We'd go to Laniapoco and the waves there are super friendly, the best place for anyone to learn. We just take longboards and stand-up paddle boards and spend the days over there in the summer.
Nice. Okay, and then how did you get into foiling? How did you first start foiling?
I think it was a while ago now. I think before it all started, we talked to Alex Aguera about just trying some surf foils because he was making kite foils at the time. And then it was funny, he said he had just started working with Kai Lenny on the same thing. So then we started doing that with them, just went to Sugar Cove and had the first go foil prototype that we tried, and then just started going to the west side a bit and just getting into it. And then Kai put out that video of him downwinding and that just exploded it.
Yeah.
Ever since then
everyone was like, oh, I want to try this. Yeah. But you were basically tried some of the very first prototypes that Alex was making.
Totally. Yeah. Just be like us in the beach down here, just going with Kai and on this old sup board with a Tuttle box drilled into it. And just testing stuff. It was fun.
Yeah. And then were you mostly trying to do downwinders or more in the surf or both? Or what were you guys doing?
Most part it was in the surf for the first couple months, and then we started to try a couple downwinders and realized that it was super fun, so then we started doing that a lot more too.
Yeah, the foils quickly evolved to be good enough for downwinding.
And then in the beginning you were using go foils, and then I guess at some point you got sponsored by Slingshot, or how did that evolve?
Yeah, we'd run go foils as well, and it was great, and then we had an opportunity to try the Slingshot stuff as well, and it worked really well for us. So yeah, we met with Tony Lagos, who's an awesome designer, and rode with them for a while, which was amazing.
Okay. And then did you have like influence in the design and things like that, developing products, or not so much? They just would send you stuff and you'd play with it?
We'd help them test stuff.
Yeah,
but
we'd test a lot of the new stuff and the wings, and then a lot of the foils and boards, and so that was super fun. Learned a lot from that for sure.
We were definitely still very early on in like our experience though. So it's not like we were saying like, oh, this is what you should do to make a cake. It's like more just feeling it out and helping as much as we could.
Yeah. And then probably the equipment you were using on Maui was like smaller, and you guys are lightweight too, right? It's probably like smaller than what they could sell to the average consumer, right? So
that's always something to keep in mind.
And then you were were you the first to do a back loop on a wing foil board, or?
Jeffrey was.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember seeing that video and I was like, wow, that's insane.
Yeah, I just remember we were doing them surf foiling off of waves. We could pump back out and hit the ramp. And I'm just thinking, oh, I think this would probably work with a wing after I just had a wave session. And then right after that, I'm like, in my mind, I could see how it would work. And then after that, I went straight back out that night and I tried it for a few hours. And then the next, didn't get it, but I got like close. I like fully saw the potential. And then the next day, I went out and tried again and somehow made it work, which was honestly really strange. Like usually if you're trying a new trick, it takes a lot longer to learn. Like even for me, I usually take weeks to figure some stuff out. But I think the backflip is just it's such a natural movement on the wing and the foil with that it worked out pretty well.
So what are, after people saw you doing it, then a lot of people figured out how to do it, but still doing it, being the first to do it is always, you don't have someone else's videos you can watch to figure out how to do it. So what are the biggest challenges of doing a backflip with a wing?
I think a lot of it's very mental, because it's difficult to see yourself actually going upside down with the foil, especially. And I think the most important thing safety-wise is just to keep your feet like in the straps with the foil facing away from you, because as long as that's good, it's not, you're not going to connect with the foil, which is pretty much the main way to hurt yourself if you're trying it.
Yeah.
And after time of doing it too, the biggest things that I've learned to help is if you're able to do one surf foiling, or even start with a backflip on a trampoline and then transition to do one surf foiling, so you get the feel of how you move through the air with the foil on your feet. And then after all that, if you can transition to doing it with the wing, make sure you have enough speed, really stay strong. It's easy to get disconnected with your legs and your upper body when you're going through it. Yeah, if you're able to work on all those things, it makes it much, much more possible.
Nice. Okay. Those are some good pointers. What about the wing handling? It seems if you don't get the wing right on the landing, you end up getting backwinded and falling into the wing. Like how do you deal with that?
Totally. Yeah. A lot of it's, especially for a lot of wing tricks, so much of it's in the takeoff, how much speed you have and what direction you jump when you get in the air. So for that one, it's really about making sure you get enough height and off the wind a little bit, because if you turn up too much, you'll come around and that's when it'll backwind. So if you're a little more angled down away from it, when you get that height and then suck your knees in and pull it around, it'll really focus on just pulling that top hand up. It'll not catch as easily when you're coming out of it.
Yeah. Nice. You guys have amazing Instagram accounts. I'm just looking through it. I'm going to actually screen share this a little bit. And maybe you can tell me how far back I need to go to find that when you first started doing backflips.
Actually, it's pretty close. A little further, I'd say.
What is this? You're wearing a plastic bag?
That was a ghost costume for Halloween.
Okay. But yeah, a lot of...
It was not easy to breathe in if you ended up in the water.
I think right there.
I think, with the red board on the left. And the,
this one.
That one. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So let's watch this. Oh, yeah. I remember watching this and being blown away. And you have a really small wing too. I guess that helps too, right?
Absolutely. Especially if you're learning, the smaller the wing, the easier it is just to maneuver. I'd fully recommend if you're beginning, if you can get a good bump or ramp of a wave to go off of and then a small wing, it's by far the easiest way to learn. That one right there is a 3-meter wing.
Yeah. Just having less wingspan makes it easier. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. That compact style definitely helps as well.
It's not like you're getting a huge amount of air, but that probably helps too. Getting high, the higher you get, the more time you have to rotate. But then I guess there's also more risk of injury, right?
Probably. Yeah. It's tough because sometimes you think so, but giving yourself more time to rotate in the air, actually, it just makes it easier. That's one of the things now I always work on with, especially the backflip, is I just try and get as high as possible. And you don't actually, unless you're going off a massive ramp, you don't end up going that high just because you have to consider up. But then also, as soon as you start pulling the wing back, you stop going up. You just want to give yourself as much time as possible to come around.
Okay. Is there like another video you would...
That one your mouse is on right now is a pretty like...
This one?
Yeah, I'd say this is when I've got it consistent. I'm still using a bit of ramp, still not that much height. It's still pretty early on, but I was feeling more comfortable with them at this point.
Double, yeah. Nice. Yeah. And then you're doing it on the way into the beach just because that's your natural regular foot, or why is it that you're doing it on this tack?
Yeah, we're both regular footed, so we pretty much have all our tricks going in, which is a bit of a bummer for here, because if we were goofy footed, we'd have way better ramps, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we try and make it work going in.
It's good for surfing here since you're with the wind a lot of the time, but for the wind sports, it's not as easy to find a good ramp.
And then what about you, Finn? I guess you probably picked up the backflip pretty soon after your brother, or how long did it take you to figure it out?
Actually,
yeah,
like I started trying them pretty soon after, but I had never really done a backflip doing anything before, so I was doing them very weird and not going over backwards, like doing them sideways a bit. And then I went to a trampoline park and learned, and then felt comfortable doing them, and then went surf foiling and learned them going out off of waves. And then the next time I went, I was getting them down a lot more.
Yeah, Finn was funny. His first attempts were so sketchy, which is why I say it's so important to keep the foil away from you and learn all the backflip stuff, because he would get straight upside down and then just fold in half and land on top of the wing. But as soon as he figured it out on the surf foil, it was like night and day compared for his technique compared to what it was before.
I think it was later.
It's so important if you're able to do that.
This.
Oh, your backflip flips?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had friends who were trying it and it just, yeah, like the board coming off their feet in the middle of the jump and there's like the foil landing on their wing and getting trashing many wings and all that kind of stuff. And plus, yeah, it looked dangerous. What is this move? That looks nuts. But a backflip without using the wing, basically.
Yeah, just going out and then you drift the wing and then do a flip off the wave.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So you guys are definitely on the forefront of all these tricks. But let's talk a little bit about the races. There was a lot of races over the last month. And you guys, both of you guys, did really well in these races. So let's talk first, I guess, about the Maui to Molokai race. I was there and I experienced it and I saw you, Finn. Like, I was wing foiling too, and I saw you just disappearing on the horizon. It's going, it seemed like you were just going in a straight line as fast as you could, locked into like a real steady, fast downwind angle.
Yeah, the wind angle was pretty good. We were able to pretty much shoot straight from the start to Kanakakai buoy.
Kamalo buoy, yeah.
The Kamalo buoy.
Yeah.
And then it was just weaving a bit downwind from there. But yeah, that first leg was pretty straight and just going super fast the whole time.
So, and yeah, and I talked to Bobo Gallagher. He said that he didn't really see you until you guys got close to Molokai. So did you see Bobo at all? Or
after maybe 10, 15 minutes into the start, I think I did a turn and he kept going. And then I just lost sight of him until around the buoy. But that whole race, that whole section of the race, I couldn't really see anybody. So I had no idea where I was. And then when I got to the buoy, I saw him a fair bit ahead of me. I was like, oh, shoot, I got to speed up. So then I just worked super hard and was going as fast as I can to catch up. And then that gap was staying pretty similar to him ahead of me. And then I think once the wind got a bit lighter, I had a bit bigger wing and was able to pull up to him and then pull ahead towards the finish.
So what size wing were you on?
I was on a 6 meter.
Yeah. And then Bobo was on that like a 5.5 or something. Yeah. Yeah. And then and you were both on the same foil. Like, he showed me the duotone foil he was using, like a kite surfing kite.
Yeah, we were both on the Daytona race foil they have. It's like their foil on, yeah.
Daytona race. Yeah. That thing was, I think probably the foil is the most important thing for going fast.
For sure.
But of course, also the wing is important because that's what powers you along, basically.
Yeah, so, all pretty fast foil and then just a big, powerful wing. So you can go as downwind as possible.
Yeah. And then and you finished in 1:114 or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Which is amazingly fast for whatever it was, 28 miles or something like that, right? Do you know what your average speed was on the run?
I don't. I think until the wind got lighter, it was probably around 28 to 30 miles an hour. And then once it got lighter, it really slowed down a lot.
So at the end, when I came towards the end, like everyone that was in my kind of around me just completely came off the foot because the wind just completely died for a while. And then after a bit, then there was another gust and I was able to get back up on foil and fly over the line. But how was it for you guys? Did you have the wind completely die and you had to like just pump, or how was it at the end?
It got pretty light. I think even on the 6, I was pretty underpowered, and probably for Bobo on the 5.5 too, but we were both able to pump our way into the finish.
Yeah. Yeah, so then, and you ended up finishing, or I guess it was pretty close to, like, he was a minute or two behind you only or something like that. Yeah. So, yeah, and from what I could tell, it seemed like you had more of a straight line and Bobo was trying to go more downwind on the way to Molokai. Yeah, so what's, I know, like, when the more downwind angle you have, the less power you have in your wing, basically. So how did you figure out your ideal angle to the wind and to the waves? And did you just go on a straight line, or did you try to use the energy of the ocean, or like, how do you maximize your speed?
It was mostly just using the winds and just trying to go as downwind as I could. And then just to keep enough power in the wing that I was able to go pretty fast. And then when it got lighter, I had to go a bit slightly more upwind, and then just trying to have as much power as possible.
You have to do that to keep some pressure in your wing. But do you try to weave a little bit to use the bumps, or do you just go straight? Do you make any adjustments?
When the wind gets lighter, then you can use the bumps a bit more. But when it's really windy, you're going a lot faster than them, so you're just cutting straight through.
Okay.
You have to stay super focused when you're doing that, because you have to go up and down and try not to overfoil or hit your board on a bump. And then,
Especially when you're overtaking a bump, then it's easy to overfoil behind it, right, as you're coming down the face. What size mast were you using?
I was on a 105.
Okay, so pretty long mast too. That foil, the Daytona, how many square inches do you know, like the surface area?
It's around a 560 square centimeters, mm-hmm. 570 maybe.
Yeah. And it's not like a super high aspect shape, right? It's almost more like a little bit mid aspect. Yeah.
Like easy to control and really locked in at high speeds.
Yeah. So what do you think makes that foil so fast? I don't know. What is it is it the thinner profile, or just like the overall?
Yeah, I think it's just the mast is really slim and fast, and then all the connect, it's a full one piece lower. So it's super sleek. Like the fuselage is really thin and the wing connections, and then the wings are really good shape and good profiles. So just like all of that makes it just super fast and low drag.
All right. And then Jeffrey, you did the Maui to Molokai on a stand-up foil board, right? So talk a little bit about how that went and the whole experience.
Yeah, that was good. I same type of thing with Finn. After the start, you get going for a bit, and then it's the bumps are, even though it was a good day, there's just so much swell and water in the channel that you don't really see anyone else. Like, even if they have boats and everything, it's actually hard to tell where you are in relation to everyone. So I was just coming in, I had no idea where I was basically, but the run was really good. I think at the start I had a pretty good line, but then definitely
were you able to get up on foil right away, right from the start? Or
yeah, I was able to get going right away, which definitely is important in the races. You can lose quite a bit of time if you're off foil, which I figured out at the end. But about halfway, I think I went too close to the island, and the bumps just weren't as fast as they would have been further out. And I was worried about the wind angle being tough to fight against at the end, but it turned out to just get light. It wasn't actually hard to come in. So I think if I was to do it again, I would have taken a much wider line, especially through the finish, where near the end I actually went too far over the reef, and my wingtip came out on just a little accident as I was pumping in. And it was right before the finish where the wind was the lightest and the bumps were super, super small. And I did my best to get back up on foil and got up for a second, but if I had stayed further out, I would have had the energy to keep it going to stay in. But on the inside, it was not the moves. I lost tons of time there.
Did you, and it was shallow, so you hit the reef, or did you go around the reef?
It wasn't too bad. I wasn't like all the way inside. I think the tide was pretty high when we were coming in. So I luckily didn't hit it. I hit it at the end when I was paddling on my stomach coming in, but it was just, once you get over that shelf, even the little bumps that you would have just outside of it just aren't even there. So,
I just flattened out the bumps basically. Yeah. And then you ended up finishing like in 14th place or something like that. Huh? You said
14th. Yeah.
What kind of foil were you on, and board and foil on? Just curious.
Yeah, I was on just some prototype foil board we're working on, and same thing with the front wing. It's about an 800 square centimeter size, but all the rest of the stuff is production stuff. I was using the mast and fuselage and all that. Like,
how long of a mast were you using on a stand-up foil board?
I've been actually liking the shorter stuff. I've been using a 75 centimeter mast. Maybe when the conditions get really crazy, it can be nice to ride a bit longer, so you have a bit more forgiveness in that trimming and that height. But otherwise, yeah, the 75 is really nice. It feels like you have really good control. And that's what, honestly, one of my favorite parts about the whole Duotone setup is how stiff it is. So you really feel like you have really good control the entire time when you're riding.
Yeah, and then for stand-up foiling, it seems like with the shorter mass, it's a little bit easier to pump up on foil too, right? And then you also have less drag from the mass, right? The shorter it is, the less drag is in the water.
Because when you're getting going, that whole mass is just sitting down in the water. So any length you're adding on is just pure drag when you're getting going. So that's probably a big reason, like in the shorter one.
But it just helps with being a little bit more comfortable and having more control and more margin of error when you're, especially on wing foiling. I have a 103 mass, and it just gives you that little bit of extra time to react to like getting too high or whatever. Yeah.
Totally.
But because when you're on a shorter mass, you really have to follow the contours of the water. Like you always have to go up and down over every little bump versus the longer mass. Sometimes you can fly over the smaller chop without making too many adjustments.
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah.
Interesting though. I like how I think it is a little bit different in wing foiling than in stand-up foiling, like with the, or downwind foiling, what size mass you're using.
Totally. With the winging, it's nice to have that length so you can just like, because you don't want to have to worry about going up and down. You just want to cut straight through everything. And then for downwind, a bit more like that control you get from the shorter mass is definitely worth it. So it's nice. Even if you have to change your angle a bit, I think it's nice.
Yeah. So when you wing foil, do you use the same size mass or do you use a different, or do you wing foil race at all? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I would use the same setup Finn was on if I was doing
it. Yeah, yeah, interesting. Right on. And then the next day was the Molokai Holokai, and I guess only you stuck around on Molokai, Jeffrey. And then, so how did that next day go, the race on the Molokai coast?
Yeah, it was great. Our friends had a place for me to stay, so it was really easy for me over there. And it was great. There was tons of the people that live over there that were into doing the canoe race and everything. And the conditions, I think, were actually, it was a little lighter. And I think the whole race was super interesting. Like, we paddled way out to the Kamalo buoy, which is just offshore near the start of the run down the coast. And then we, basically started pumped up. The bumps were really slow, it was like kind of work to keep it going, but it was very like, they were just lined up and even. It was hard to really gain a bunch of ground. And when I started the race, the two other people who were really fast in that was Oscar Johansson and Aiden Nichols. And we all took super different lines. Like me from the day before, I was thinking, okay, no matter what, I don't want to be too far in. So I went really wide into the middle of the channel. And Oscar went in the middle and then Aiden went really close. And I think just the style of the bumps kept us all like really close. We were like super spread out the whole race. And then we were coming into the finish and it was crazy after the whole, I forget how long it was exactly, but after that whole time, after the 10 miles or whatever it was, we were all basically in a line next to each other.
Right, almost on the same bump, basically. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. So it became like a super hard pumping race, and both those guys are super strong and super good at pumping, especially like Oscar's a machine when it comes to that stuff. So.
Right.
It's very much for me, I knew I really have to focus on the technical part of it and really make sure I'm like taking the best line to each bump, making sure I save as much energy as possible. But I was still pumping as hard as I could some of the times. And just before the end, luckily, I think Oscar said he made a couple like bump mistakes, and then I was able to just pull ahead of them by 10 seconds before the finish. And then Oscar and Aiden were, I think it was 0.4 seconds apart across the finish.
Oh, wow.
Which is extremely close for a race.
Right, over 10 miles, yeah.
Yeah, it's unheard of. I think it was just because the conditions out there and the type of bumps were so lined up, it was so hard to actually make distance on anyone, even though like we all took completely different lines, so it really doesn't make sense that we were right next to each other at the finish.
Yeah.
That's just how it went, which it was pretty fun. It was like, it was the hardest I worked, I think, in most of the races, just because they were right next to me. I just had something to really push for and really like really focus on too. That was the most I focused in, or the most I had to focus in any of the race scenarios from the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. And then that just that length of that race is almost, it's more like you can really go all out the whole way. It's not like you have to conserve for the last part, like on the Molokai Oahu race or whatever.
it's really tough on the longer ones to know how much energy you should use at the start, especially for M2O. That's the scariest part, is that basically flat water pop up at the start and just thinking, okay, if I use this much energy here, how much am I going to have for the end? Mm-hmm. And so for the Molokai Holokai race, it was like much more of a sprint the whole way. So yeah, it was a full grind, but yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah. So the Molokai or Maui to Molokai race and the Molokai Holokai, that was like 2 weeks before the M2O race. And then I think the following weekend, there was the Gorge Challenge in Hood River and also the Paddle Imua on Maui, right? Finn, which one did you do again?
I went to the Gorge and then Jeffrey stayed here for Paddle Imua.
Okay, so how was the Gorge Challenge?
It was super fun. It was decently windy, a lot lighter than it usually is in the Gorge. And then they ran both the wing downwind race and the sup downwind race on the same day, but they were luckily this year they spaced it out by 3 or 4 hours, so we had time to do that one and go back up for the second. And then,
so which ones did you compete in? Which races?
I did the wing foiling downwind and course race, and then the sup downwind race.
Sup foiling, right? Okay, so how, and then, yeah, so tell us a little bit about how those races went.
So the first day they did all the downwinders. So in around 10 in the morning, they started the wing one and it was pretty light. Everybody was just on their biggest wings pretty much. I had a 6.5 and everyone started super close. And then these two guys, Johnny Heineken and Joey Pasquale, who are really good kite racers or kite foil racers and now wing foil racers, they pulled a bit ahead. And then I was keeping with them a lot and then just slowly falling back and then just stayed like that the whole way down and just came in third in that one, maybe 15, 20 seconds behind Johnny in first and then wow. 10 behind second.
Wow, so that was a super close race too then. What distance is that? Like how long is it?
I think that one's not 8 or 9 miles.
Mm. And what was the time on that one?
Mm. I think.
And you're going against the river current too, right? So that makes it a little bit slower than,
And light wind too.
Yeah, wind was super light.
Yeah. So I guess obviously if the wind was stronger, how it is a lot of times, then you guys would have had faster times, right? And then in terms of the foils, were you using the same one that you used in the M2M? Or
yeah, for the wing race, I was using that same Daytona foil.
Yeah. So I guess depending on the wind conditions, you just use a bigger hand wing, but not necessarily a bigger foil.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. Okay.
A 6.5 unit D-Lab for that one.
Do you know what kind of wing Johnny Heineken was on, foil?
I think both him and Joey were on the Mike's Lab foils.
Do you know what size by any chance? No.
I think either the 540 or the 600.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And those are super fast foils as well. But interesting. Okay. And then how did the paddle in Mua go? You stayed on Maui, Jeffrey, right? And then how
was that? Paddle in Mua was awesome. That event is a fundraiser to support kids with special needs. So there was, I think, 300 people registered to do the race and they had to close registration because it was so full, which was,
oh wow,
just, yeah, it was so incredible to see. The race launches from Lico Gulch, so having everyone down in there, like the whole canoe paddling community and then all the foil community as well, was like just so incredible to see. And yeah, the race itself was really fun. The conditions were good. We had all had a nice good start out in the wind line and went down to Kanaha, and it was, yeah, pretty good race. I was feeling good. The other guys, there's some other really fast guys. I think James, Casey, Andrew, they got a bit ahead of me through the middle of the race. And then I was coming in next to Kai. And then I did the same thing that I did in a M2M where my wingtip came out and I fell and I had to grind back up to get up. And then Oscar came in and passed me just before the finish. And then I was able to like run past him on the beach to the end, because it was like this crazy beach run finish, but it was a super fun race. And also I will mention Edo ended up like just coming out just to be part of it. He wasn't even able to get in just because it was so full, but he was faster than anyone, which was pretty cool to see.
Oh, so Edo actually won the race, but he wasn't officially registered kind of thing?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And then those guys are the ones who finished in the M2O race as well. Yeah. So that's interesting. But yeah, so let's talk about that. The big one, the paddleboard world championship, the Molokai to Oahu race. That one you guys both did. And so how did that go for you guys?
That was good. I think it went very well for Finn.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Except for one thing.
Yeah, we had good wind and then pretty good bumps the whole way, but it was a bummer for me. A couple of days before, I started getting this weird pain in my heel and was having a hard time walking. And then the day or two before the race, it just, this weird spot started coming in. And then up until the morning of the race, it just kept growing until a big blister on my heel. And I still just couldn't really put any weight on it. And then did the race. Luckily, I had foot straps on my board, so I was able to kind of not put much pressure on it and use my toes on my foot a bit more. And then when I got to the finish, I just had to go to the doctor and they like drained it all out and then had to cut all the skin away. And
yeah, I saw you briefly at the finish and you were limping and I was like, what's going on? And you showed me, and so it was almost like a tennis ball size blister on your heel. It was huge, ugly looking too.
Yeah, the night before we were looking at it, wondering, should we try and drain it and bandage up now? Or we ended up just...
Yeah, I talked to Scott Trudon, who's Kai's trainer. Scott Sanchez, sorry.
Different Scott.
Who's Kai Lenny's trainer. And he just said that I should probably wait to drain it because I don't want getting infected, which was good advice because I think if we had tried to pop it, I might not have been able to race. And then, but luckily made it and then just had to go to the doctor right after.
Yeah, and then they basically just cut off all the skin and just cleaned up the infection kind of thing, or do they know what kind of infection or what happened?
No, not really. I think I got like a weird bruise inside and then it was bleeding a little maybe and then got infected.
So are you still healing up from that or is that all done now?
Yeah, still healing, I think. Still on crutches right now, trying not to put much weight on it. And then I think it's maybe another couple weeks before I can do stuff again.
And you're taking like some, yeah, I'd probably have to go through some heavy antibiotics and stuff.
Yeah, like that. For the week after.
Yeah. And yeah. Wow. But yeah, it was the first time they had the wing foil division at the Molokai to Oahu race. Yeah. I always get those mixed up. But anyway, so it's cool that you were able to win that one.
And it was a really good battle with Bobo and then Aiden Nicholas.
Yeah.
Kind of most of the whole way. I think
did you see them going across? Or I know that you guys were all pretty close, but yeah, how was that?
Yeah, we all started really close and we're pretty much on the same line, all in a pretty tight pack going towards Molokai. And then once the wind got a bit lighter, I think I had a bit more power in my wing and I was able to just drop a bit below them further downwind and pull ahead. And then once we got a lot closer to Oahu and further up the coast and we had to start weaving downwind, then I think I really pulled ahead a lot just because I had more power and was able to ride the bumps a bit more when it got really light. And then I think, but before that, we were all super close.
Yeah, and that's something to mention too, that, I mean, I guess at the start, the wind was actually pretty decent, but then in the middle of the channel, it got really light in some spots and it didn't really get, seemed like it maybe got a little bit windier again towards the end, towards Oahu. But and then once you got around the corner, then it was light again, right? Did you get any lulls coming in towards the finish? Or
I think I came about as close to coming down as I could have and then just got another puff of wind as I was about to come down and kept going. But it was, it was close coming around the point where there was this big dead zone of wind before you got the wind coming from Hawaii Kai.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess Bobo is a natural goofy footer, which helps in the Molokai race because you're going in that stance most of the way. So for you, do you feel like you can go faster in your regular stance than in when you switch feet in the goofy foot stance, or how do you?
It's pretty similar right now. And then I need to spend more time going goofy though, because I think it would be faster, but. With my foot to that race, it was lucky it was my back foot, so I didn't have to put as much weight on it. Mm-hmm. And if I had to use that as my front foot, it would have felt a lot worse. But yeah, both Bobo and Aiden were goofy footed. So on the kind of first reach over to Oahu, I think it was a lot more comfortable for them.
Mm-hmm. And then Aiden is from New Zealand, right? And he was on an Armstrong foil, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of foil he was on or what size? And
I think he just had a prototype one. He said it was around 470.
Oh, so even smaller than yours, huh?
A fair bit smaller than ours, which I think it helped him when it was windier. And then when the wind got lighter, he was just having a hard time going as downwind.
Mm. So that's another thing to mention too, like basically on a really small foil, yeah, like sometimes you can't get the same downwind angle because, yeah, it starts dropping off foil. So you need a little bit more pressure in your wing. Yeah, so it's always like a gamble a little bit. If you go too small, it helps going faster, but then you're also taking a risk at when the wind gets lighter. So,
yeah, for sure. Because that's kind of what happened was at the start, he was super fast and actually pulling ahead a bit when it was windier. And then once it got lighter, I caught up a lot to him and then was just able to go more downwind and the same speed.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the finish, just put a big gap on him because it was really light and I was able to go more downwind.
And then what hand wing were you on? It was the Duotone.
I was on the Duotone Unit D-Lab 6 meter, which I think I would have preferred to have a 6.5, but it's so hard to tell what the wind's doing apart from
where you are. Do you mind sharing what your weight, your body weight?
I think like 140 to 145.
Okay, so 6 meters is pretty big for your body weight. And what about your board size? What were the dimensions of the board you were using?
4.4 35 liter Sky Free board or Sky.
It's a pretty small board, like basically a sinker, right?
So yeah, it's nice for the weighing downwind to just use something that, because you're using such a big wing, you don't really need a ton of board to get you going. And then you want something that once you're up is just really out of the way, so you're not catching it on other bumps. And the smaller boards, I feel like they make it a lot easier to control the foil at high speeds. And then, yeah, you're not really too worried about it catching.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't fall at all during the whole way across, or did you have any?
I did right at the start, maybe a minute or two in. I think I just hit a weird warble and then the nose started going down and I tried to put weight on my back foot and put it right on my heel where it really hurt and then just stuffed the nose and been flying. And then luckily got back pretty fast, like 10-15 seconds, and was going again.
I always like to use a little bit longer and board, higher volume board for racing, because if you do fall or come off and it's light, then it just makes it so much easier to get back on foil.
Well, for like horse racing, and then if the wind's lighter, that's definitely the way to go, because then it's the worst when you're just stuck down in the water and everyone's passing you and
can't get going again. All right, Jeffrey, talk about your experience at the Mauai to Moloka race. I heard from a lot of stand-up foilers that the start was tough and then all the wing foil escort boats went across or made wakes and chopped and whirled up the water and stuff like that. So talk a little bit about how the start was and then, how the whole channel crossing went for you.
Totally, yeah. The start of that race is always difficult since you start just below the island, so time to generate as big as they would be in the middle of the channel and the wind at your back definitely helps. It makes it like much easier than a completely flat water pop-up, but the hardest part is you're able to grind up and get going, and that's something I practice a lot, especially like in flat water stuff, but just staying up for that time until you actually get into the bumps that you're able to relax and regain some energy is definitely the difficult part. So my focus on the start was just getting up, getting going, and then keeping my heart rate as low as possible and trying to ride as efficiently as possible to not burn so much energy.
Mm. So about how long did it take the pumping in the beginning where you just couldn't even rest at all, like until you reached some bumps where you could just take a little breather?
You could take like tiny rests because there was like a little bit of motion, especially like with all the boats going around. Some of it was bad. Some of it you had to pump through, but then some of it you could use to ride a little bit.
Mm.
I ended up on the south side of the line at the start. So the boats actually cut across me like really quickly, which was bad because it was right at the start and I hadn't gotten on a glide yet. But then I got to the other side of this boat wake and got a tiny bit of rest, which actually might've helped me a little bit. It didn't last very long. It was probably a few minutes before any good rests and then several more until you were like, you could actually ride a bump for a bit.
My friend Eli was saying he had a couple of times where boats went like right in front of him, and I think that's something that they need to educate the escort captains on, that when we just can't go through a boat wake when it's all churned up, it's not, we just, the foil doesn't work. And
it makes it water, super right? difficult to ride when those currents are moving the water off the prop. It's definitely tough. I'm sure next year we'll have it all figured out, because it's tough starting the wing and the sup at this exact same time as well.
There's talk of doing the foiling on a different day than the paddling. What do you think of that? Do you think that would be a good way to do it?
Yeah, I think that could be awesome. And I'm sure even if they do that, there'll be separate starts for the wing and foil, or maybe the boats will start further out for the wing, since they have to, like, if the wing boats let the wingers get away, they're pretty much never going to catch up with how fast the wings are going, especially like this year was pretty light winds, which is easier for the boats to drive in and makes the rider slower. But if it's strong, it's going to be even more difficult. So I think a separate day in general could be awesome. It would, I think, give them more customizability for the race course.
Mm-hmm. And you start further out in the wind, and then there's maybe talk of finishing down at like Waikiki area. So you have bumps all the way to the finish, and then it's still a cool,
finishing the run with the Hawaii Kai run that all the guys do over there. And I think it could be nice for, like, they're just managing everyone in the water. It won't be so many people on one day, which is always good for safety as well.
Yeah. And then we were talking about, does every foiler really need an escort boat? Cause it's not like you have to switch out hydration packs or whatever. It's usually you don't have that much interaction with your boat. It's for safety, but everyone also had the satellite tracker and whatever. So if they had enough safety boats, maybe not every foiler needs to have their own escort boat. I feel like that's overkill. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't think any of the foilers, or especially the ones that were going fast, had any interaction at all with their boats, unless something went wrong, like you said.
And I heard that a couple of foilers, the boats didn't even find them. Like, they basically went across the whole channel without their escort boat.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of guys that they didn't find them until they were coming in at the finish.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's tough with so many people out there.
And then you said you had pretty good positioning at the end, like you were like around fifth place or something like that coming towards the China Walls Portlock, and then what happened, or like that last part is always so challenging. So how did that go for you?
Yeah, I was coming in and I was like, I'd saved enough energy coming into the end that I'm like, okay, I want to save a good amount for the finish here, because you always know how tough it is, especially when the swell's small. You're just going to have to pump quite a bit. And I tried coming in. I ended up just on the back of a swell along the wall where the wave breaks. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to make it over this thing. I should just try and pull off, catch another wave. And then when I tried to pull off on the one behind me, it just wasn't breaking. So I ended up going over to the other boil next to it, and I did catch a wave, but it was too big and I fell on it and just messed around, wasted tons of time doing it.
This was at China Walls or further?
Yeah,
China Walls. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right after I finished, me and my mom and dad went back out on our boat and then was just watching him come in. And oh, it was such a bummer because he was doing so well and up ahead of Kai and Mateo, I think.
Mateo was like next to me coming in.
Yeah, I think he was running like fourth or fifth, and then was just in between two waves coming around, like right at China Wall, and then came down, and then there just weren't many waves to catch. So it was a bummer.
Yeah, there wasn't that much energy. There wasn't many waves coming through that day. And then where did you just paddle straight towards the finish from there? Or what was your strategy after that? Were you trying to catch another bump, or were you just prone paddling the whole way? Or how did it go after that?
I decided to wait and catch a bump just because there was enough swell that I figured something would come. And I got one first one and then just couldn't hold on to it when I first caught it. And that would have been like good. I wouldn't have lost that much time if I got on that one, but then I had to wait for another one, got on that. And I think it might've actually been faster if I just paddled in, but I guess I saved a little bit of energy. And then I ended up catching another wave at the next reef inside and pumping as far as I could on that. And then, just paddling all the way in.
Yeah. And then just prone paddling, or did you paddle on standing up, or both?
I prone paddled most of the way. I know a bunch of people were actually like doing the knee paddle thing, which might have been faster, but I don't know if it was for me personally. I felt like I could grind pretty well laying down. And then once I got close to the finish where it wasn't as windy, I stood up and paddled in.
Yeah, because standing up or kneeling also has more, you have more surface area and it's a really strong offshore wind there. So yeah. But yeah, it's funny how that the last part is a little bit anticlimactic where it turns into a paddle race, right? But
I mean, it can be exciting if you're close, but yeah, it's definitely yeah. Like challenging. But
a lot can change it in that last, not even a mile, really.
I think even for first place, I think Oscar was actually the first one to the point, and then James was a little behind and even came down, but luckily got back up on a wave just at China Wall. And then was able to pump, like the connection was really good. And he's really good at pumping as well. So he's able to like pump further in.
Yeah, you know? I think he caught a wave further in. He prone paddled to like pillars and then caught a wave there and then was able to connect it all the way over the reef and into the channel. So that's how he won it. So yeah, cool. Yeah, so that was a bunch of exciting races in a couple of weeks. Yeah, and what's next? Did you guys know we're doing a winged foil race here on Oahu on the August 26th? It's like we're calling it the Hawaii winged foil state championship. So I don't know if you guys can come to that, but that would be
might have another somewhere else planned. But if not, yeah, we're certainly considering it because that could be super fun.
You should come over for that. Yeah, that'd be cool to have you guys.
That'd be great. Yeah.
But do you have any other races planned or doing other competition stuff?
Currently, I think you were considering going to...
Yeah, I think there's a kind of wing wave event in Morocco that I think I'm going to go to. And after that, not much.
Yeah, otherwise we're considering other downwind races if they happen. But we're...
Cool.
See what comes.
Yeah, right on. When is that race the wave event in Morocco? When is that?
I think it's end of September.
Okay, cool. So if you could design your own competition, what would you include? Would it be like racing and freestyle or wave riding would it combine different like stand-up foiling and wing foiling, or what would be your ideal race if you could choose?
Probably a bit of everything would be pretty fun. Definitely a downwind sup foil section, then maybe downwind wing, and then maybe some surf foiling and wing freestyle, wing and waves, just everything would be super cool.
So like almost like four different competitions and then have a combined score for everything. That would be cool. Yeah, I think
that'd be crazy. Yeah, that'd be super fun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're thinking about maybe trying to put something like that together for Oahu.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's talk a little bit more about your equipment. So after your sponsorship with Slingshot Energy, you're both riding for Duotone Fanatic now? So how did that come about and how's that going?
We were just talking to those guys and it ended up working out really well because their design team is based on Maui, which makes it really easy for us to work with them for testing and designing and everything like that. It's really nice to be able to like meet with people and actually go and ride together who's done a lot of the wing boards, and then Ken Winter, who does all the wings pretty much. They live super close to us and makes it really easy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been awesome working with them on everything.
Yeah, and I interviewed Ken and Alan Cadiz, and I guess they go together on like upwind and downwind to test the wings and see which wing is faster going upwind, which wing is faster going downwind, and things like that. Do you guys go out with them too, or are you part of that kind of the testing crew for the wings?
Absolutely, yeah, we do a bit of that with them, and then I think a lot of reason why we came in was to test the wings for kind of freestyle and jumping too, because I guess they don't do that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't, like, I know Alan Cadiz doesn't jump at all. And I think that's pretty smart because, for me too, like, I like to jump, but it seems like I always get hurt when I jump. That's how I end up getting hurt. So I try to avoid it too lately. But yeah, so what have you guys had any serious injuries? I guess that the infection doesn't really count as a foiling injury, but like, what kind of injuries have you had from foiling or water sports?
I've had a couple pretty bad like knee injuries. One a couple years ago, we were towing, and then I like fell with one of my feet in the straps, got a little rolled and just twisted my knee super weird. I think I strained my MCL. So I was out of the water for 2 or 3 months. And then another time, I think it was the first time I was trying front flips winging. I just landed one super weird and tweaked my knee again. And then was out of the water for another couple months after that.
So actually the front flip, the forward loop, is there like a good video that you can maybe talk about that a little bit?
Definitely, I'll have a lot more video.
Well, you posted the one where you hurt yourself.
Oh yeah.
I think it shouldn't be too far down. Maybe.
I think it's past this.
A little further.
Yeah.
Did you post it?
Yeah. Okay. I think.
Yeah, the one in the center at the bottom.
No. Yeah.
This one.
Yeah, that's the one I hurt myself on.
Okay.
First time trying.
Oh, that was your first attempt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it looks like kind of a rough landing. So what happened? Your knees got tweaked forward or something like that.
My front knee. I think I just jammed it super hard into the board and then just tweaked it weird.
Okay. So let's I guess for somebody trying it, they don't want to visualize a bit where you hurt yourself, right? So yeah, do you have one that you can, is this a forward loop?
That's a back loop. I think you should go to Jeffrey's page. He's got a lot.
Okay, so yeah, tell us which one, where's a good video where you can talk about doing a...
A little up. Back a little, the one at the bottom in the center. One up. That one's actually, yeah, that one's good.
This one?
Yep. I think the one before might be the first one I posted.
Okay.
And it was, I don't think, like, when I was doing this one, I don't think anyone was doing it this style. Like, a lot of guys were doing very, like, forward loop style ones, which were good, but that's when you get, like, those super hard landings, which can be really tough on the knees.
Mm-hmm.
And on it, like, when I was first trying this, I didn't actually, like, the rotation's much harder for landing than the backflip, because when you come around the backflip, the board's moving forward, so it's very easy to plane out and get right back on foil. But with the forward, you really have to like slow yourself down in the air so you have a soft landing. So I was pretty happy when this kind of all worked and it all made sense. I actually, to learn this one, I wasn't completely blind. Wyatt Miller, who's this really good windsurfer, was doing basically forwards on the wing, and I like watched his videos and saw his body movement and saw what like I could adjust a little bit, and yeah, then it all worked out, which was nice.
Did you guys ever windsurf or before starting windfoiling?
I can, but yeah. I never got a single jump windsurfing. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that like how you tuck in on this one? It looks a lot like windsurfing, like a forward loop and wing foiling, like that tucked in.
Dang. Yeah, totally. I'd say the biggest difference is I'm looking like under my right shoulder instead of back up and over it. But they're very similar for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, so give us some pointers on, or is there another video we can play here?
Yeah, near the top, there should be some good ones.
Okay, let's look further
up. At the very top, I've been posting lots of downwind stuff.
I think
that one on the right there, yeah. It's been perfect. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a high one, over-rotated. So yeah. Give us some pointers on how to do this move.
Totally, yeah. So the biggest thing I look for is a decent gust, and that's like for the day. You want to make sure when you're in the air, you're not going to hit a hole in the wind and lose power, because that's the sketchiest thing. And the sketchiest thing is like committing to that forward rotation, right? So as long as you get up and have the power, I find it's very consistent to get around. And yeah, once you get over, it doesn't feel dangerous anymore. Like you can land on your stomach or back even with the foil under you or to the side of you, and it's fine. So yeah, I focus on finding a decent gust. Try and get a good amount of height. It's the same as the backflip, where if you give yourself a little more time to come around, you're generally going to have, it's generally going to be easier to actually make it. And then the biggest thing is I jump, get in the air, like just a big straight air. But then as I'm coming up, I tuck my legs up under me and keep the board pretty like flat, and then, or not, I wouldn't say flat, but like foil facing down. And then once you're at the apex, it's really all about pointing the nose of the wing just straight down and holding your whole body like compact and together and strong. And then obviously coming out of it, once you feel like you're halfway through the rotation, then you start to extend your legs, try and reach out and feel for the water on your landing. because with front flips, you're blind when you're coming in. Like you don't have the, when you're doing a backflip, you can look up and you actually get to see how far you are from the water when you're coming into touch. But on front flips, it's like mostly all about feel. So the more you can reach your legs out and feel that water, the like easier time you're going to have absorbing the impact of the landing.
So I guess, yeah, like for tricks in general, it's always good to use like the smallest wing possible, hand wing possible, right? It seems having a smaller wing, but at the, obviously you don't want to be overpowered and stuff, but you're saying like, yeah, use a small wing, wait for a good gust. And then, but yeah, I guess this is saying it's, you don't want to be like probably overpowered with a wing that's going to be too big or whatever. Right?
Yeah. But, yeah. The bigger wings just make it more like you, more technical, I'd say. Like your technique has to be a little more on point, because otherwise it'll pull you or throw you in a weird direction that you weren't expecting. And with the smaller wings, you just get a bit more of that control, which definitely makes it easier to learn.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then I guess, and also you don't really have that issue where you get backwinded, like in the back loop, like if you get the wing in the wrong position, it's not like you're going to get backwinded or whatever. But that's what are some of the potential mistakes or things to avoid when you're doing it?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny thing because a lot of people that do front flips, or they do end up shutting the power off and going much more like over the front. And then you can have points where it can potentially backwing. But I like to try and keep the power in it just so I don't have that problem. But yeah, what are the things that I'd say people struggle with the most?
I think a big thing is just keeping your legs really connected to your upper body, because a lot of times, especially when I was learning them, I would go with the wing and then just leave my legs and the board a bit behind and then just get stretched out during the rotation.
Yeah, it's really easy to leave the board and foil behind because there's quite a bit of, even though the stuff is super high performance and super lightweight, there still is like volume and weight with everything that's on your feet there. So being like focusing on, you get that jump and you're focusing on the height, really just sucking your feet into your, or just your knees up and your knees to your chest basically. And it's not even that much. It's just enough so that you have a good connection, Finn was saying.
Kind of keeping it all tucked in a little bit, keeping your legs close to your body.
Yeah. The other thing I do is same with backflips. I make sure to not turn too much up into the wind when I'm doing it. And I think that that allows me to keep the power in the wing a lot easier. And it really makes it so that when you're up in the air and you go to point the wing down, that it really like throws you around. It gives you that rotation because it's easy to come up and force yourself over, but it doesn't throw you around the same way that it does when you're able to turn off the wind a little bit and really open up that wing to the wind and have it throw you around.
Yeah. But it seems like also like you always pop up and try to get some height before you throw yourself forward, right? Like you don't want to just instantly throw yourself forward as soon as you come off the water, right?
Totally. Especially for front flips, it's a lot easier to get a high jump than for back flips just because of the way you're holding the wing and the rotation of it. So I always like focus, I jump and then pause for a second, think, okay, I want to keep going up here. And then when I feel that I'm high enough for the rotation, then I'll commit to the pointing the wing down and tucking and going for it.
Yeah. So how about some tips for landing, not just in when you're doing flips, but just in general, what are some tips for sticking a landing and making the landing?
Totally. Yeah. And in general, foiling is actually really nice for landing because you get the front wing and tail wing extended off that mast. So you get like a nice kind of cushion when you're coming in, as opposed to just straight windsurfing. You land so much harder without the foil breaking your fall on the water.
Mm-hmm.
So for basically any foil trick, the most important thing is to reach out as you're coming in, and you don't want to reach out to the point where you're overextending your knees because then you could hurt them in another way. But you want to reach out enough just so you get elongated when you're coming in. And then as soon as you feel that water coming up, then you want to start compressing and compress as much as you can coming in, using the wing to support your weight as much as possible. That's especially with the front flips. That's one thing I try and work on, is making sure I have power as I'm coming down too, because it's really easy to jump and do a trick and then not have the wing like supporting you as you're coming down. So you land really hard. So having like doing the rotation, then catching the wind again, as once you're right side up, makes the landing so much softer.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then do you, like, on this jump, you're coming in usually tail first, right, with the foil. Is that, do you feel that gap makes the landing softer if you're coming in with your tail first?
Absolutely. Touching the tail wing first and then the front wing gives it a nice transition when you're landing.
Yeah. I've seen some guys sometimes like pointing the nose down, doing like a nose down landing. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like breaking the surface tension with the tail is a little bit easier than with the, you definitely don't want to land flat because then that can be hard impact, right?
Totally. Yeah. Giving it a bit of angle really, yeah, breaks the surface tension, like you said, and makes it much more comfortable.
Okay. Cool. So talk a little bit about what you guys do when you're not on the water. Like what are some, do you do any other things like cross training, or what do you do for fun, and what are your plans? And yeah, talk a little bit about
that. We do quite a bit of training, especially for the races that were coming up. Like all of that is, it's so much endurance and strength for connecting the bumps. So we do a lot of gym workouts, running, all stuff like that. Yeah.
And spend a lot of time surfing, but that's also in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Regular surfing without a foil or both? Yeah. Most regular.
Both. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough. We're really lucky here. Just you have so many options of stuff to do in the water that you're pretty much, there's always something to do if you're trying.
Is it a little surfing way of getting barreled?
Yeah. Nice. It's funny. On Maui, like, it's rare to have conditions like that, but well, at that spot per se. But yeah, we had a pretty fun winter. It was nice.
Yeah, so cool. And you're
a little bit. Finn won there was trials to get qualified for the Pan Am Games for 2023. So the picture is just a little lower of Finn in the red jersey. That's a sub surfing competition.
Oh yeah,
we both made the final in, and then he won.
Yeah,
which is pretty crazy.
Awesome. Sup surfing as well as one of your disciplines, huh? Oh, and then yeah, you
how started.
I hadn't really done it in a couple of years, and then just decided to go to that event. But I think because we'd been surfing a fair bit, it came back pretty quick.
Yeah, the surfing helps a lot. Like even surfing helps foiling technique a lot. I feel like it makes it much easier to know how to transition your weight for certain turns and certain moves, and everything helps everything. I think the foiling strength helps your surfing, and the surfing helps your foiling, and yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite sport that you like to do, or is it just depending on the conditions? Like you just choose your weapon depending on the conditions, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think that's my favorite thing is just there's so many things to choose from. So whenever, whatever the conditions are, you can do something and have fun.
I think especially being on Maui, you need to
you
need to have those options because it's not like you're not going to get glassy surfing conditions all the time, and you're definitely not going to get, you get strong wind all the time, but there's so many times where it's not as well. So being able to have the option and go from surf foiling to winging or anything like that is great.
Mm-hmm. So do you think being brothers, does that help you like competitively, like where you egg each other on and like watch the other, your brother, and they're doing something, so you're going to do this, try to copy them or try to keep up with each other? Is that helped you be more competitive, you think?
I think it's definitely an advantage, like always having someone to go with was really nice. And then also, like you were saying, you want to practice as much as you can. So having two people out there figuring stuff out and trying it makes it really easy and nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you both compete in the same competition, is it like on purpose that you're trying to do different divisions so you're not competing against each other, or do you like competing against each other, or yeah, how does that work?
Yeah, I like competing against each other, but I think for all these races it was just fun to do the separate divisions and try to do well in each of them. And then
if we could have done both, if I could have winged into them and also done the sub, like we both would have been in both divisions. Yeah. And would have been like totally fine competing against each other. Finn also is super fast in the subfoil. He finished second in the Gorge race when he was there, with half the community was there, and they're all super fast.
Right.
Yeah. And so he's like as fast as me, and I'm as fast as him winging, I'd say. So mm-hmm. It'd be honestly, we just wish we could do everything. It'd be fun. We just work
out. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So do you have any kind of coaching? Do you have somebody who coaches you or gives you like some pointers or tips? You were mentioning earlier, Kai Lenny has his personal coach and looking at your infection and stuff, but do you have anything that you do like with more like kind of professional sports coach or something like that?
Yeah, it's tough because for Foiland, it's also new and with everything growing, it's not like there's tons of people out there that have tons of experience, like specifically in the foil stuff. So for that, we don't really have a coach at all. We just work together to figure stuff out. Maybe coaches would be like for wing racing, there's mentors from because they've windsurf raced and everything like that. Like I know Alan and Ken have tons of knowledge in that. We definitely talk to them about stuff like that. And surfing, we get to when we're doing Canadian surf team stuff, there's this guy, Shannon Brown, who's amazing to work with. But yeah, in terms of, and then we do some gym stuff. There's the place Deep Relief up here, but that's more, it's less coaching and more just like workout coaching, I would say.
Yeah, how to do the moves correctly without hurting yourself and stuff like that. So do you focus more on strength training or cardio or both? Or what do you do at the gym?
It's just everything really. A lot of, and then working on a lot of kind of small, the smaller muscle groups that you really use a lot, kind of surfing and foiling. And
Yeah, they're really good up there. Like, focusing on just working on all the muscles that you don't think you use that much, but when it comes to all these water sports, there's so many weird situations that you get in that those supporting muscles actually play a huge role for everything like that.
And then also your things like your shoulder rotator cuff muscles and things like that, where that can prevent injury too if you strengthen those certain muscles. And I guess your knees too, and everything, it's important. And also it's to stay limber and stretch and all that kind of stuff. What about, do you watch your nutrition and try to get enough sleep, or are you just like teenagers that party all night and then go show up the next morning to do a race?
we definitely just try and eat healthy good food and then sleep a lot. And
Yeah,
we're not like super specific on specific foods or stuff like that, but we make sure that it's at least just healthy that we're eating, and definitely not careless with it. We're very much thoughtful about it.
And then what about, like, are you guys, what are your plans for the future? Are you just going to be professional athletes, or do you have any other interests, or are you doing any studies or interested in going to college, or what's your plans?
We just started doing all the board designs for Fnatic, and now, so we did, we were working with Sky on the new Downwinder boards, and then now this year we're working on all the new wing boards, and then which are going to come out for the next ones.
Yeah, we're basically just seeing how this goes so far and seeing how far we can go with it. And it's been good so far. And open to other stuff, but we'll see what happens.
I was really impressed by Kane DeWild. He does a lot of computer work and designing foils and boards and all that kind of stuff. So do you work with Sky on the design, or do you actually work the shaping software yourself, or have you learned
how to use it? We worked with Sky a bunch, and then now we're doing more of the design stuff on our own.
And what do you use, Shape 3D, or what program do you use?
It's Shape 3D and then a little bit of Rhino, but most people use Shape 3D, so that's what we've been using mostly.
And then have you done any wing designing too? Do you just work with Ken on the wings, or that seems to be even more complex than designing a board?
Yeah, the boards are definitely easier compared to the foils and the wings. And we've learned a bit about it, but we're not at the point where we're actually doing any of the design stuff.
Obviously Ken's pretty into that and making all these different prototypes to test. And it's interesting how on a wing, like, you change one little thing and it makes it work or not work, and you don't even really know until you try it. And so if you change like four things, you don't really know which thing made the difference. It's you have to be very deliberate and test it.
It's a super specific process, and especially working with the wings is a soft materials when it comes out, so it's sometimes you try and put one thing in, but it doesn't come out exactly how you thought or how even the file said to how it comes. So it's a lot of, just working to, like, that experience that Ken has means so much when it comes to stuff like that, because he can figure out why exactly stuff's happening, even if it's not exactly what was supposed to be built or anything like that.
Right. So it looks like, I think windsurfing is going to be an Olympic sport, windsurf racing. If winged foil racing becomes a sport, would you be interested in trying to be in the Olympics?
Absolutely,
For sure,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. It'd be cool to have that in the Olympics. I think that might happen actually soon, from what I hear from the racing stuff.
Pretty amazing. I think, yeah, it's such a fun type of racing, and it's pretty accessible, winging especially. So many people that I know, when it comes to getting into learning one of the water sports, for them, winging is actually the easiest out of surfing or kiting or anything like that. Even compared to surf foiling, like a lot of people have their first foil experience with the wing, which is pretty crazy that it's able to teach people so well. And it's nice that it's so intuitive, which hopefully, yeah, will make it popular and so it can get into those events.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how fast the wing foiling has grown, from not existing to now. It seems like it's already made a lot of progress. Is there like a dark side to being addicted to foiling? And is there, I guess for you guys, that's how you make a living too. But is there like a downside to like where you miss things because you're out on the water, or forget something because you're, or like, is there anything that you would say is a downside of being
I
into
guess
foiling like that?
it's much less formatted than a lot of other stuff because you're very dependent on conditions and stuff like that. Especially if you're like doing a competition or something, it's not all, there's so many factors that aren't in your control as like with other sports where it's the same gymnastics set up every time or the same skate ramp every time. So the ocean always is like that, but I think that's why a lot of people love it too. It's like always unique and interesting. So like
Yeah.
every session's its own and it's fun. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have
Yeah,
anything that's too.
no downsides.
Yeah.
All good.
No downsides. Okay. And then I was gonna ask too, like, basically, when they always say if you make your passion into your livelihood, then you never have to work. But was there like an aspect to it that be working basically as a professional athlete and doing it to make a living too, does that take away from the fun part of it? Does it make it more like work, or do you guys just always love it?
Sometimes you can take it a bit too seriously, but you want to work hard and but also keep it fun and just have a good balance there.
Yeah, I think it totally can if you end up having to work super hard on one point and maybe it gets monotonous. But I think the nice thing about foiling especially is like there's all the different parts of it which keep it very interesting. There's surf foiling and downwind, and actually even with for downwind foiling specifically, I'd say I was, not as motivated maybe 6 months ago before all these races came through as I had been before, just because I'd done it a lot. But after so many like more fast people came and the races were super competitive, I found myself getting like much more passionate about it than I used to be. Like it was, yeah, reignited and wanted to do really well after that. So it can happen, but I think just with how healthy the sport is right now and how many people are into it, it's going to take a while for it to get like that.
Okay, good. So are there any people that you want to thank for getting you to where you are today? Yeah, like who supported you over the years?
We can thank our parents, first of all.
Yeah, they've done everything for us pretty much, and yeah, we wouldn't be able to be doing any of this without them, so.
Yeah, they've been super supportive, especially our dad. He's so into winging out himself, which is pretty funny. He absolutely loves it.
I think he's gone right now.
Yeah. To thank all our sponsors that we had before, all the people we worked with, even from Alex Aguera
So like Peter Letter and
yeah,
then Tony
Tony
Lagos
Ghosh at Slingshot and all the
and
people there.
Keith DeBoole a lot.
Yeah,
He taught
Keith
us a lot
with
about
Kate.
boards
Yeah.
and yeah. And then now with Duoton with Ken and Sky and then yeah.
Yeah, we've been very lucky. Like everyone that we've worked with is just amazing. Those are all, yeah, people that are still making stuff and still doing really well.
Who do you think would be a good one to interview next on my show here about foiling and wing foiling?
That's a good question. I know some of the new kids coming up in downwind are really cool. Like we just had Malae and Brady Hurley over here. They spend a lot of time on the North Shore on Oahu, and they're two super passionate, like super fun kids that, yeah, that are into it. They're great. They'd be super fun to have on.
Yeah.
You've
Okay.
been able to start.
And then I'm not too sure everyone you've had in the past, but maybe Keith or something. And
Yeah.
I think,
Oh yeah, from the
yeah.
design side,
Keith
yeah.
DeBoole, yeah.
And
Okay.
you've had Ken on the show, yeah.
That took me a long time to get him. He's hard to get out of his shell, but it's finally got him on the show, and he was great, actually. Yeah.
Ken's super fun to talk to.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So anything else, any message you want to send out there to the foil world? Like anything else you want to say or mention or talk about?
I think just to keep it fun and always to try new things, whether it's if you haven't downwinded before to go try downwinding, or if you think you wouldn't like winging, but just to try everything and keep an open mind.
Yeah, I'll say too, especially with the races going on in Hawaii the past 2 months, the community that has, even before that, the community that's evolved around even each specific aspect of foiling, like there's a super strong wing community, there's a super strong surf foil community, I'm sure that over on Oahu, and there's a super strong downwind community here. And just seeing everyone's passion for it is incredible. Everyone's super friendly. If you get into the sport, it's really hard not to make friends when you're out there doing it. And I'm sure it's the same thing all over the world with every foil community that's out there. So, yeah. I mean,
maybe another good guy to have on the show would be Andrew Gibbons, if you haven't had him on. He just came up this year doing all the downwinders, and he was so fast. And he's been here for a couple months, like all summer, and working really hard too. So it's been cool to see.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really cool that you guys are involved in all the different disciplines. Sometimes I think people get too narrow-minded about just doing one discipline and then everything else is crap or whatever. That's their attitude. And yeah, it's good to keep an open mind and try all the different ways of enjoying it. Plus you have more days you can go out, right? You can do something else. So yeah, that's a good point. And yeah, I think just because everyone's having so much fun that it's easy to share that stoke with others and just keeping it friendly. And also I guess foiling is not, it's not as like sometimes when you're surfing, it gets pretty competitive, or it's almost like playing chess to be at the right spot and to catch the wave and be at the point or whatever. So foiling is a lot more, there's room for another guy. Or it's not as people don't get as aggro about it. Yeah.
That's the best part downwinding, is everyone's just happy to see everyone else out there.
Yeah.
The more the better, really.
Yeah, if you pull up the surf and there's 50 people out, you're going to be pretty bummed. But if it's that scenario for a downwinder, you're stoked.
Yeah, you're like,
if there's 300 people at Maliko Gulch, and it's, let's go. Yeah. No, that's cool. It definitely makes it easier. Thanks so much for your time, guys. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And then maybe we can catch up again in a year or two and see what you guys are up to then.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck. I'm definitely going to keep following you guys. See what you guys are up to. Oh, by the way, I guess the best way to follow you guys is on Instagram probably. So just tell us how can people find you? What's your Instagram handle?
I'm at Finn_Spencer.
And I'm Jeffrey_Spencer.
That's not very original. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's funny how sometimes people are like, oh, you're so-and-so, the Instagram handle, right? Yeah. Like, you're full of fever, right? Or something. It's like kind of funny. But you guys are just, your names with underscores in between. Very easy to remember. Okay.
But it was taken, so.
What was taken, sorry?
Oh, the username with no underscore.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thanks again so much. Have a great rest of your day. You're going to get in the water today, you think?
Probably. I think.
Oh, yeah. With the not Finn, because you're still healing up, right? Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I've been trying to get over. I might have a friend that I might go help with setting up a shelter for the fire stuff, or people displaced from the fire. Might do that as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. That definitely. I was actually even thinking about heading over there myself, but then I don't know how. There's probably no transportation and all that kind of stuff, how it would help out. But so actually, Finn, I was going to ask you, since you can't get on the water, what do you do to stay occupied or keep what do you do to stay happy?
But they're working on a lot of boards recently, to just new prototype ones. So that's been keeping me busy, luckily, and trying to stay sane. And then,
What kind of these board design is like your biggest challenge? Is it like downwind foiling, stand-up foiling, or wing foiling, or what kind of boards are you working on?
Working on all of those, pretty much. The biggest challenge ones were the downwind boards when we started working on them last year. And then there's just so much to learn when, because it was all pretty new with Dave coming out with those longer Barracuda boards. And then,
he'd come up with those, and we still went through the whole process of we thought we were gonna, because we tried so much stuff, and just ended up like, I don't know, learning a lot through all that.
Yeah, so that was definitely a challenge, but also a really cool learning process, and just to get to the point where we got to and learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. So what's something that's surprising, like on board shape, that surprised you, or something you learned from making a mistake or something like that? Is there anything you can share like that, design-wise?
Yeah, I think there's a lot, just how many aspects of it there are, that like, just the outline and then the bottom shape and the rails, and
it's like everything's important. Everything's super important. You can make, like you're saying, a few changes and it's a completely different board. Mm-hmm.
Definitely still not as complicated as the foils or wings.
But, no. still there. Most of it's, at this point, it's very subtle stuff. Like you change the rocker a little bit and it just completely stalls the nose, or it makes it ride super well. Mm. So a lot of stuff like that.
Things like that, yeah. So in terms of volume, like what kind, like on a downwind board, what do you ride, like how many liters, like compared to your body weight, like how do you gauge the volume of your boards?
We're riding around like 80 or 85 liters, and I think I weigh like 140, 145, and Jeffrey's around 150 maybe.
So you're quite a bit have extra volume basically in the boards, more than you need to float, right?
Yeah. I could probably float like on a 70 liter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my Supsurf board, which sits at the top of the water for me, is around 63 liters. So mm-hmm. it's nice to have a fair bit extra volume.
Just for getting going.
That's about like maybe 30% more volume than you need to float, basically, something like that, maybe.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, sure, I think those are on the small side for our weight still compared to what everyone else is riding.
Right. And then what about length and width? What do you like to use?
I think we have a couple different boards. We have some, like,
we're in like the six four to six ten range, just for what we're riding. And around 19 wide.
Yeah, 19 to 20 wide. Yeah.
And what about the Molokai race? What length board were you on?
Basically that. It was actually, I rode a longer one for that race. I rode a 7.6.
That's what I think most guys were on, 7.6 or even longer, right?
It's because of the start and the finish. Once you're up, it's the shorter stuff's nice, but getting going, that length helps so much. And then obviously paddling all the way in, it's a little easier on the longer one.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, good. That's good. Good feedback, good information.
Yeah, totally.
All right, I'll let you go. Have a great rest of your day, guys. And take care. Talk to you later.
Yeah, good one.
That was good to talk.
See ya.
All right, thanks so much for watching another episode of the Blue Planet Show all the way to the end. You're one of the 5% of the people who start the video and finish it all the way to the end. I know some of you also listen to it as a podcast, and probably more than 5% listen to the whole thing. So I do appreciate everyone that listens or watches the show. Hope to see you again soon. Stay stoked. Maybe I'll see you at the Hawaii Wingfoil Championship race on August 26th. We're still planning to hold that. So hopefully we'll get some wind and so on. And we'll make it a fun party afterwards as well. So hopefully we'll get a good turnout and make that into an annual event. So thanks again, everyone, for watching. See you on the water. Aloha.